You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up on Setlist, we'll hear from a folk singer who will tell us how he went from playing heavy metal songs in a garage to writing the heartfelt folk songs he's made a living on.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. A new challenge in Medicaid may help close the health gap that many Native Americans face. And it was recently reported that the state's Government Accountability Board didn't spend anything on outside investigations over the past 2 years.
Robert Menser joins us now for the latest on those stories and more. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, and he's based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's start with that Native American health gap. How serious is it?
So it's pretty serious, and I mean, it's a complicated issue, and there are a lot of causes. There's a lot of the causes have their root in sort of economic deficits between the Native American community and sort of the white community or Wisconsin, the average Wisconsin median income. But it's pretty serious. There a report by the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families released in May found that Native American babies are 69% more likely to die within their first year, and Native Americans in Wisconsin have an average life expectancy of 63 years compared to 77 years for whites.
Wow, that is very significant.
It's stark.
So what's this change in Medicaid that may help with that?
So this is a change to federal Medicaid reimbursement policies. So obviously this sounds like we're pretty deep into policy weeds, but there are people who think this is going to make a difference. Basically what it is this. There are health clinics that serve Native communities in Wisconsin, and they provide more than just only direct doctor care. They maybe offer transportation services, or they do long-term care for people who are in their homes, or they have education programs, nutrition programs. The old policy was that the federal government would pay 60% of the cost for these specialized programs. The state was supposed to pay 40%, and what happens in these cases is it creates fights about exactly what is counted and what the exact reimbursement rate is going to be, and as we have seen in Wisconsin, the state also can make changes to its own Medicaid policy. So the new policy, the feds are going to pay 100% of the costs of these specialty care programs for Native communities. So the hope is that this will allow them to expand. It'll be more security for these programs and allow maybe more access to care in some of these communities.
My understanding is that also, it says that it's not just limited to care provided within the confines of a clinic, but also basically clinic-overseen programs that are out in the community. So it seems like, especially for Native Americans who are living outside of more urban settings, that maybe this will also increase access.
100%, and that's where, and I mean, it's easy to understand, right? That's where, for instance, these transportation programs might have the most effect, is in rural areas and less densely populated areas. But yeah, there are a number of, I think that health care in general is coming around and is continuing to move toward a more sort of holistic model, right? You're supposed to look at not just the specific symptoms, but the broader conditions that are affecting a patient's health. And so that's the idea here, is to promote that type of program that is more takes a broader look and can address some of the factors that are contributing to people's health problems as well.
So Governor Walker had decided not to accept the expansion possibilities of Medicare and Medicaid funds under the Affordable Care Act. Does that have any role in these changes not having happened sooner?
So I think that it's not exactly direct, but it is certainly related. So this is all under the umbrella of Medicaid, and in Wisconsin, of course, Medicaid program is called Badger Care, administered by the state. And for sure, the fact that Wisconsin chose not to accept the Obamacare Medicaid expansion put pressure on that program. There also were a bunch of changes to who is eligible for Medicaid. In some cases, dropping the eligibility down to the, well, not in some cases, period. In Wisconsin, dropping eligibility down to the poverty line. So those changes combined for sure change who could get Medicaid in Wisconsin and what sorts of services are provided.
Rob, let's move on to the Government Accountability Board. It turns out that Wisconsin's Government Ethics and Elections Watchdog Authority didn't spend anything on hiring outside investigators for the past 2 years. Is that significant?
It feels pretty significant. $0 in 2 years. I mean, I guess it's possible that all of our politicians just did nothing wrong in that time, but it feels like, wait a minute. So it's a big drop, and the key of the drop is they were spending about $45,000 in election years, according to the report in the Wisconsin State Journal, during the John Doe investigation, specifically that applied to campaign activities by Governor Scott Walker's campaigns, that jumped up to close to $200,000 in a year. This doesn't mean that there were literally no investigations in these last 2 years. This is no payment for outside investigations. Mm-hmm. So a spokesman for the Government Accountability Board said that the board chose not to hire investigators because staff, quote, had sufficient time to conduct the investigations and the cases did not require extensive field work. So, okay, so they're doing their job. But, of course, another explanation, and one that that was advanced by some good government types, is that what was happening is they were under heavy scrutiny. They were under political pressure because this is the exact time when Republicans in the legislature were drumming up calls to ultimately what they did, which was to split the GAB and do away with the agency.
So as you just referenced, the nonpartisan GAB is winding down in its mandate, and it's been replaced with two new committees that are staffed by political appointees, both major parties being able to appoint people to work on those. So is there anything that should be learned or applied from the findings about those, that lack of bringing in outside investigators?
Well, I mean, I think that there's certainly going to be some of those appointees are going to sort of read the tea leaves on that, right? What has happened in the state, they've split the Government Accountability Board into an elections board and an ethics board, separate boards. This is, of course, the way that it was before the creation of the Government Accountability Board in 2007. I think everyone basically unanimously agrees that as separate boards, there's going to be less power, less investigation power in these agencies. One thing they did that didn't used to be the case is the Republicans in the legislature set a cap on how much the new state elections and ethics commissions can spend on these outside investigations. They set that at $250,000, which is, I mean, I guess it's worth saying, is that's less than what they were spending in the John Doe days. But it used to be that there was no cap at all, and their mandate was to follow the investigations where they led in order to, you know, root out public corruption. And I think, there's a concern that they will be less able to do that in the future.
And finally, Rob, as we wrap up quickly, a new Marquette Law School poll came out on Wednesday, and Governor Scott Walker's approval rating is going down. And how did he react to that?
Yeah, he knows why. He did what a lot of politicians like to do when things are not going their way, which is blame the news media. So Governor Walker said on a call with reporters this week that the headlines are always negative and bad things, so it's no wonder that people feel that way. His own approval rating is back down in the 30s, 39%, but also he was also responding to, maybe even more so, responding to respondents' answers that they have a negative view overall of the direction the state is heading in, and they say that the budget is not as well off as it was a few years ago.
And we'll have to leave it there, Rob. Thanks so much for joining us. That was editor Rob Menser joining us to recap the biggest news stories from around the state this week.
Coming up, it's Set List with Duluth folk singer Charlie Parr. This is Central Time.